A landmark general election is underway in Nepal, the first of its kind since the end of a decade-long civil war, the abolition of the monarchy, and the introduction of a new constitution. This vote is no small feat for the Himalayan Republic that is home to 30 million people and the tallest mountain in the world. It is taking place in two stages, on November the 26th and December the 7th, with voters from remote villages braving hours in the cold just to reach a polling station. But the results will also be keenly watched by Nepal's two towering neighbours, India and China. Both are vying for influence in Kathmandu as part of a broader diplomatic tug of war across the region. Delhi has traditionally held most sway in the Himalayas, but Beijing has been making its presence more strongly felt this decade. Chinese and Indian soldiers squared off earlier this year over a strip of disputed land in the Dokhlam Plateau, which is claimed by Beijing and India's other Himalayan ally, Bhutan. With Bhutan firmly in Delhi's camp, Beijing would like to bolster China's diplomatic influence in Nepal. And as for Nepal itself, it stands right in the middle of these two giants, both geographically and politically, and it has consistently sought to appease each side, taking a neutral stance during the recent standoff in Dokhlam. The current coalition government is led by the Nepali Congress Party that favours close ties with India. However, the party of Prime Minister Duba looks set to lose power to a communist power bloc formed by its junior coalition partner and the main opposition. These two leftist parties, the Unified Marxist-Leninists, or UML, and the Maoist Centre, caused political shockwaves a few months ago when they agreed to partner up for the elections and subsequently merged to form a united communist party. The Nepali Congress was caught off guard because the Maoist Centre is the junior partner in its ruling coalition. What was even more surprising was that these two ideological allies had suddenly agreed to work together at all, after more than a decade of always fraught, often ugly, and sometimes hostile relations. The two rival red factions engaged in open clashes as recently as local elections earlier this year. This unexpected turn of events has led some to suspect a Chinese hand in this Communist Party matchmaking, an indication, some say, of Beijing's growing influence. Meanwhile, more sober heads point to a long overdue political realization for these leftist parties, who competed against each other in recent local elections, fielding rival candidates and essentially gifting seats to the parties on the political right. Whichever way you look at it, Nepal's 15 million eligible voters have a tendency to lean towards the left, so this freshly minted communist combo is expected to win a clear majority when results are announced in the middle of December. The response by the Nepali Congress has been to form its own union, a so-called Democratic Alliance. While this centre-right group stands little chance of clinging on to power, this emerging left-right divide could actually create greater stability in Nepal as the country moves towards a two-party system split along traditional ideological lines. Previously, Kathmandu has become used to coalition governments that rarely last more than a year. There have been 11 prime ministers in the past 10 years. And this lack of consistent leadership has hampered the impoverished country's abilities to recover from a devastating earthquake in 2015. Nepal currently operates on the Westminster system, so the party that wins the most seats in parliament gets to appoint a prime minister. But the two communist parties are determined to change this by turning the largely ceremonial presidential position into an executive branch of the government, akin to the US. The eventual installation of a strong Nepalese president, backed by a newly united Communist Party with a broad base of support, would be quite a turnaround for China in its regional power play with India. In September, President Xi Jinping abruptly cancelled his much-talked-about trip to Nepal, with analysts and China watchers citing a number of frustrations. Beijing's announcement coincided with a Nepalese state visit to Delhi, where the Prime Minister was snapped shaking hands with his Indian counterpart, Prime Minister Modi. Another Chinese gripe concerns a perceived reluctance in Kathmandu to fully get on board President Xi's flagship Belt and Road policy, a regional trade and transport agenda that India has so far been boycotting. China poured money into Nepal following the 2015 earthquake. Beijing has been investing in infrastructure and energy projects. But there has been little progress so far on an agreement for China to build a trade link with Nepal and thereby cut reliance on transport connections with India. Voters in Nepal should expect the wheels on these Chinese projects to start moving a little quicker once the election is done and dusted on the 7th of December. And not long afterwards, the topic of discussion is likely to move on to the location of the newly installed Prime Minister's first overseas trip. While it may be too soon to choose Beijing over Delhi, few in Nepal will be surprised to see the red carpet being rolled out and the red flags flying high for a rescheduled state visit from its communist northern neighbour.